you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey guys, it is Ashley and Naz and Becca Martinez today.
Hello.
Yay. I'm so excited to talk to her about everything from moving in with her boyfriend to giving birth and the fact that she has to deal with all the mommy scrutiny on social media.
And we seriously have so much to catch up with you about since the last time we were on our podcast, because you literally
lived, I think, like, I was coming off of The Bachelor, and it was like
you were living a different life. Basically,
I was totally living a different life,
and it was only a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah. I remember you came on March 2018.
Oh my god.
Yeah. That's insane.
No, 2018 was a year of a lot of changes, and 2019 is too. It's just, you know, you never know what's going to happen every year.
Yeah, I almost feel like once a year we should just catch up with you.
Just see where I'm at.
Next year you'll...
I'll have twins. I'll have three kids.
You'll be living on a farm, starting your own reality show with Brady Bunch.
I had my friend read my cards the other day, and she's like, the next 2 years from you, like, you're going to go places, like, you're going to move places you never thought you would, like, all this different stuff. She was just like, the next 2 years are going to be crazy. I'm like, the past 2 years have been crazy.
First of all, that's little Ruthie, and she's breastfeeding as she's doing this podcast.
Yeah, just to paint a picture for you guys.
She's so mad. Okay, I'll take off my earphones.
Okay.
Aw.
Did your friend who read your cards say that you would have a baby on your boob a year ago?
No, but 2 years ago, she said I was going to have one boy and one girl.
Oh,
so I've got one girl, so we'll see if I have a boy.
Were you excited to have a girl? Did you have a preference?
Oh, my God. So I always thought that I wanted boys. Like, I always said that, like, oh, I want a bunch of boys. They're just easier. And then the second I got pregnant, I was like, I want a girl.
That's so funny, because that's exactly, like, how I feel. And I'm scared I'm going to pull a Chloe where I'm going to be mad if I find out I'm having a girl.
Wait, but maybe so you want boys?
Yeah, I just feel like they're easier.
Did Chloe want a boy?
Yeah, Chloe wanted a boy so bad.
They told her she was having a girl, and she was like mad. It was
oh
like,
my God.
I know. She's like vocal about it.
Oh, wow. Is she still mad about it?
No.
I mean,
she'd have to like try again for a boy.
She's dealing with a lot of
Yeah, she'll try again in a couple of years when she finds someone.
Let's talk about how we got here first off, though, since the last time we've caught up with you. How did you and Grayson meet? And how did that
You were like getting pregnant, basically, when you were last on the podcast.
I know.
I got pregnant in May.
You got pregnant in May. Okay. Was he the guy that you were excited about?
Yes, because probably. I met him at the end of February.
Okay. Yes. You told us about him, and you're like, I'm really excited. I feel like he's like my soulmate.
Well, that's dramatic.
We were talking about not wanting to go to paradise because you liked him.
Oh, yeah. That was him. Okay. So I met him. We both rock climb. He's now opening a climbing gym in Long Beach. It's called Beach Rising. It's opening this month. It's so amazing.
Cool. And what's the one that you used to go to? Was it downtown?
It's literally right around the corner from my house. It's called Cliffs of Id in Culver City.
There and meet
it's
a guy.
Great. That's yeah. Cool. So many climbing hotties. Okay. So we had a bunch of mutual friends, and we met at a friend's birthday party. Actually, one of my friends had dated him, and I was like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. And they split amicably. She had no problem with me dating him.
And you're like, I'm going to have a child.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think in like a weird way, I sort of like subconsciously got pregnant. Like I had I'll just get real. I don't know how raunchy your guys' podcast
is. Oh, we love the raunch.
Oh, it's all the raunch.
I had been using the pull-out method for like 3 years. And what I tell people, you know, because I'm like, the pull-out method works. And then they're like, well, you have a kid. And I'm like, well, it works if you pull out. And it's like, when you stop doing that, then it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So I just started getting, exactly. I just started getting really loose with it. And I was like tracking my ovulation. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm probably not ovulating. It's fine. And then I was like, oh, I am ovulating tomorrow. And that's how I got pregnant. But just like one and done.
So you decided when you met him or in general that you were going to stop pulling out and just kind of,
I was like, let's try for a baby. Yeah, like it wasn't, yeah. I think it was this weird subconscious thing, like wondering if I could get pregnant, which sounds really stupid.
Because
like, I don't know. And you also hear all these people like trying for kids. And I don't know. And like I said, this is all really like deep in my subconscious. Like me,
I feel like this is something if I could get Lauren pregnant. Would do, because Lauren has been like so risky her entire life with it.
Yeah,
and she says she can't believe that she hasn't gotten pregnant yet.
Yeah,
because she has been so lax.
Yeah,
that she wonders if she's going to have an infertility issue.
Whoa.
Yeah, because it hasn't happened on an accident yet.
Well, wait, hold on. I'm gonna
that's
get the
my
bouncer
biggest
for
fear.
Her.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, no, that'd be wild. Although I'd tell her to quit risking it.
I know, right?
Unless she really wants a baby.
No. It's crazy because I feel like a lot of people do that. Like Lauren, not like me, because I know I'm not ready to have a kid. But I feel like some people that may, you know, just like deep down have always wanted to be a mom.
Yeah,
it's
me.
Or just like, let me just see what happens.
Yep.
Do you feel like that's how you were?
Yep, I think subconsciously that's how I was. I knew I always wanted kids. And I think even though I didn't know Grayston that well, I felt like I always knew he was going to be a good dad. Like, I don't know. Sometimes you know that right away with a guy. You're like, oh, you're going to be a really good dad. And I just had that sense with him, and
so how
he's
did,
proved me right.
How did that go down?
Horribly. I mean, I don't know. Should I stop?
Okay. So how did that go down?
Horribly.
If you haven't seen it on your YouTube.
Yeah, it was, I don't even know if I fully got into it. I don't remember. But it was not fun. I mean,
are you
like,
willing to go there now?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's like, in theory, it was like, oh, I want to be a mom. Like, let's see what happens. And then when I actually like missed my period and got a positive pregnancy test, I was like, I wasn't one of those people where I took like 10. Mm-hmm. I was like, I knew there was no such thing. Like there's rarely false positives.
Yeah.
And I was like, nope, I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
And, it was suddenly like, oh no, this is real. And like, I don't want to be pregnant. Like I don't want to be a mom right now. And suddenly it hit me of like the reality of kind of the way I had skirted around, you know, I don't know. It just, the reality hit of like what I had kind of done. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, fuck. And I told Grayston right away, and it was funny because his first reaction, he kind of laughed and he was like, oh wow, you know. And he was going on a trip to Mexico, a surf trip, the next day for a week, and like didn't have any service, so that was kind of weird.
Wow.
So I was like just talking to friends, like my sisters, did not tell my mom or my parents. And
did you go into it hoping he was going to be down? Or I guess that's a bad question. I'm more asking, were you okay if he wasn't cool with it, I guess?
You were going to have the kid regardless.
Well, I don't know. I think I sort of assumed that like I would just get my way. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this.
Right.
But I was like sort of, I mean, I was thinking like maybe I don't want to do this. And then when I told Grayston the reaction, which is like totally fair, like you're a 29-year-old guy who's like so not ready for that kind of responsibility, like is just starting a new business, like, or in the process of opening up a new business, all this stuff. And he was like, when I told him like, oh, but like, you know, I want to keep going, want to keep the pregnancy. He was like, he just broke down, you know. He was like, we can't do that, and was like super upset. And anyway, yeah, it was a long few weeks. And it's actually kind of crazy. I don't think I've talked about this, but we decided that I was going to have an abortion. And we even went to a clinic and like got the ultrasound and everything. And then my sister was really my big sister was really mad at me and she was like, you need to at least, oh, this is okay. Ooh, I'm getting my story all jumbled, but like the day that, basically the day that Ruthie was conceived, my mom had texted me. And, so I'm just going to like rewind because my mom's very, Christian and conservative and very pro-life. She works at a pregnancy care center as a counselor.
Whoa.
So this has like been something my whole life, that like, I know what she thinks and I've been taught, like to be very pro-life my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I always sort of thought that I would, you know, keep a pregnancy if I got pregnant. And then when the reality hit, I was like, whoa. But anyway, my mom texts me like literally the day that Ruth was conceived and we didn't know at that point. And my mom sent me a text and she said to me and my sister, and she said, I want you girls to know, if you ever had an abortion, like I would still love you. And like, I would still be there for you. Yeah. And of course, at that time I didn't know I was pregnant. I know, wild. Literally the
day
that
she was,
I know. She said, she was like, I don't know why I'm sending you this, but like, I just wanted to let you girls know that. And she was like, she said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I felt like I should. And then, so my big sister, when I decided that we were going to have an abortion, my sister was really mad and she was like, you know, mom would want to be able to be there for you. Like she would want to be able to be there to support you emotionally, even if she doesn't agree with what you're doing. And then I thought back about my mom's text and I was really thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, there's a reason my mom sent that text. So I decided like just that day I drove to Fresno and I was like, I can't tell my mom over the phone. I have to tell her in person.
Wow.
And the funny thing was, is I was like expecting this explosive reaction. I told her like, I'm pregnant and I want to have an abortion. And she was just very calm. And then I remembered, I'm like, oh, she's a counselor at a pregnancy care center. And she's like, okay, well, like, let's talk through all of your options. Like, let's really like think about this. And like, anyway, I ended up staying at my parents' house for like 3 days. And my dad was angry and he was like, we'll do anything for this child. Like you're having this baby. Aww. Like we'll do anything like for them. My parents already have 8 grandchildren. Actually, wow. My big brother and sister both have kids.
Wow. Which is such a lucky thing to hear too.
Oh yeah. Totally.
I remember when you were talking about your parents, the last podcast, and I can imagine this based on what I know of them already.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then my dad told me, he's like, Beck, you know, like, you know, you were made to be a mother and that's like part of who you are.
Oh my God.
And
how
I
did
was
you
like,
feel when you said that?
I think that was like one of the moments where it hit me and I was like, yeah, I mean, and my dad kept saying like, this is going to be okay. So my dad, actually both my older brother and sister, my dad's girlfriend got pregnant when he was 19 with my big brother. Mm-hmm. Then they got married and got divorced. And my dad's next girlfriend, when he was like 21, got pregnant with my sister.
Wow. So your dad already had
my
kids.
Dad, the first thing my dad did was fly down to Los Angeles and like talk to Grace. And he's like, don't do anything stupid. Like ask her to marry you. And that's what my dad said.
Really?
That's really
cute.
That's what my dad said. And he was just like, it's going to be okay. Like, it's, you know, like it's going to be all right. And my dad was like, I really understand like how you feel. Like I really understand. And, anyway, yeah. And it was kind of like when I was at my parents' house and I sort of felt like it was fate that my mom had sent me that text, because like, if I hadn't had that assuredness that she would still be there for me and support me no matter what my decision was, I don't know if I would have said anything to her. And like, I don't know. I don't think we would be in the same place right now. So anyway.
Wow. That's a massive statement.
It's super dramatic.
Because I have so many questions.
So many people's parents or people in their lives aren't supportive of them like having a kid, and that can totally affect whether or not they have one.
Or having an abortion.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I love this company. The next sponsor. It's a great, great idea. I think the conception is that a lot of women have lower libidos than their partner. And that's not necessarily the way it has to be. So if you want to have the opportunity to desire sex as much as your counterpart, go to forhers.com. That is forhers.com. It is not weird or abnormal to have a low libido. It's actually quite the opposite. Women have been given a pat on the shoulder and ignored when it comes to a solution for this very real, very common concern. So let's stop doubting ourselves and reclaim the sex drives that make us feel the best.
Yes. So FurHers.com is a new women's wellness brand, which basically puts your body back in control, you guys. And what I love about this company is it was fought for by a woman, for a woman. And FurHers is helping women reclaim the sex drives that allows them to feel bold and confident, like Ashley was saying. So no need to take time travel out of your already busy day. FurHers provides access to licensed doctors online who can actually determine if you're a candidate for a prescription medication to treat hypoactive sexual desire disorder, which is called HSDD. So a doctor will evaluate you. And if it's appropriate, they'll prescribe you treatment for HSDD that can be delivered directly to your door. So convenient. No more in-person doctor visits, no more pharmacy lines, no insurance needed.
So you can order now and get started today for only $29 by going to forhers.com/get it right now while supplies last and subject to doctor approval. There are important safety information that applies. You got to see the website for full details. So go to forhers.com/get it. That is FORHERS.com/get it. Forhers.com/get it. Restrictions apply. See website for full details. So, okay. Saying that you considered having an abortion right now with your child next to you, how does that make you feel?
The first few weeks after she was born, I felt like incredibly guilty. And so there was also like the hormones from giving birth and everything. And you're in the postpartum period is like, I mean, we'll get into that. It's craziness, but I felt really guilty and I would look at her and I would cry and I would sob and I would just be like, I just felt horrible and having her there in front of me is like this being and this like beautiful child. And she's just her. She already has a personality and everything. And she's just so her. And it made me feel, I felt horrible. And then, but now, I mean, I was in a different space. It's like a different perspective. And I was like five or 6 weeks along in the pregnancy. I mean, it's a tiny blip on the ultrasound and my perspective was totally different. And I think that I need to like give myself grace. And I think that other people should too, if they've gone through that or if they've had an abortion or if they've considered having one, like they need to give themselves grace if they're feeling any kind of guilt about it.
I was just going to ask you, what advice do you have for people? And obviously the topic of abortion itself
is so individual.
Absolutely. It's so personal to whatever you want and whatever works for you in your life.
But and I don't have any kind of like, I'm not like pro abortion. I'm not like, go out and get an abortion. Right. It's just a cluster of cells. Like I'm not in that camp. And I'm also not like, you're going to hell if you have one. So it's like, it's crazy.
I think everyone should just have the right.
I mean, there's even, I mean, it's a huge topic.
Yeah.
So, but I guess like my advice is, I will say one thing. I think that, I guess just what I believe in my life is that I guess maybe it's just for my life, but it's like things usually will turn out okay. And they might not go as planned. They might not go as planned, but like things generally turn out like better than you think they will in these unforeseen, scary circumstances. Right. And totally I can tell you one thing. If you're like, I feel like if you have any doubts, like really think hard about whatever decision that you're making and like what your motivation is. And if, I don't know, I just think like, don't let your motivation for anything, not even just like an unplanned pregnancy, be out of fear. Like really, consider things.
So your mom was talking about going over all the options and adoption is one of those options.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider that? That consideration, was that affected by the fact that you're a public figure?
No, actually, like I think, I know I definitely considered adoption and I brought it up to Grayson. He was like, no, absolutely not. Which seems sort of unfair to me
because
I was like, why are you, but I guess his thing was like, if this child is going to exist in the world, I'm going to be the one to take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of understand that, but I didn't, I mean, I get it and I don't get it at the same time. I get it. And I don't think it's fair at the same time, but
like he would rather abort the baby than let the baby have a life with a family that wanted it.
Well, yeah. And that's another thing people don't realize is that there's huge waiting lists for newborn children. It's like, a lot of people have, they don't want to adopt older children for kind of obvious reasons, but a lot of people want to adopt newborn babies.
Right.
And I actually went on a couple sites and there's like lists and lists of these like wonderful families who are just waiting for a child if they get the opportunity to. So he said no. And I was like, okay, well, I got to have respect for that. Right. But I definitely considered it.
What was, just to go back to Grayson for a second, then I want to talk about postpartum. But so how did that conversation and, you know, how did it really go down? And then how did it end? So well, was he...
The initial conversation was like very dramatic, like in a movie of like crying and yelling and me running into the bathroom and like sobbing and like just so emotional.
How long did you guys know each other again?
3 months.
3 months.
And I think 4 months when at the time when I found out I was pregnant. But yeah, and then once I went to my parents and he decided to tell his parents. And at that point he was kind of like, I just want to know what we're doing. And he had calmed down a lot and was like, not quite so like emotionally fueled. And I told him over the, no. I got back to LA and it was actually on Father's Day. It was on Father's Day.
I think I remember this from like a YouTube.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah. It was on Father's Day and he was like, just tell me like, what are we doing? Just tell me. I just want to know like either way what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think like I want to have the baby. And he was like, oh my gosh, it's so dramatic. But he was like, okay, like tell me what I'm going to be. And then I was like, you're going to be a dad. And we were both like sobbing and hugging.
Oh my God.
And then now he
is. How gnarly is this? Because you've known him for 4 months. And so did you feel, was it more like a feeling, like an unspoken thing where you were like, and he was like, we're doing this together? Because I would imagine that's a very difficult thing for people to go through, especially with maybe a one-night stand or a guy that they just met or someone they've been dating even for a couple years. Like, that conversation, I would be so uncomfortable having because I'd be so scared on whether or not they'd be in it with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess, like, you mean, like, the initial conversation or, like, when I decided, like, that I was... that we were gonna have her, like which one, because it's like the first one wasn't scary. I was like, oh, I'm gonna get my way, like it's gonna go the way this way that I think, and it definitely did not go the way that I thought.
Right.
And then it was the second time that
and
was
you were
really
planning
scary
on having it on your own regardless.
Yeah I was like, whatever, I can do this. And then the second time around I was scared to tell him, but then his reaction was like so sweet and it was like just what I needed in that moment, and so that was great.
Because this is like so wrong. Did you ever feel like, is he just with me because I'm having this kid?
Yeah.
Ever feel like that?
Not now. We had conversations about that though, where I was like, we'd get in arguments and I'd be like, you don't have to stay with me just cause you're the father of my child. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want you to be with me if you're just staying with me for the baby. Like, I want you to be with me cause you love me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I love you. He's like, trust me. If I didn't love you and if I didn't want to be with you, then I wouldn't. Like, he's like, I would still be a father to Ruth, but like I wouldn't be with you if I didn't love you.
That's so amazing.
Does it help that your dad has children from previous relationships that didn't lead to marriage?
Yeah, but it's also scary at the same time because I saw my older siblings go through, I saw them experience it. I saw them be in limbo between like two different homes, and my dad, you know, ended up marrying my mom, and you know, they're still together and they have their family, and it's really hard to like be in between two families and not really have one that's fully your own with like a unit, you know? But it's also like, yeah, things do turn out okay, but it is hard.
I'm so proud of you. This is like such an incredible story. What, I guess I want to get into childbirth, but we have talked about this previously on the podcast. So because I want to ask her about postpartum, but
I want to know that. I just want to know how... Oh, darn it.
What was the hardest, best, and worst part of your pregnancy?
Worst part? I think people don't realize how hard the first trimester is.
Oh, yeah.
Like the first 12 weeks.
But you know why I think that is? Because you're not really allowed to say you're pregnant during that time. So women aren't
a stigma.
On Instagram. They aren't being outspoken with their friends and family because
they're
really
afraid
not
they're
supposed to talk about it yet.
Right. Because they're, which I wish that we would kind of end that. I mean,
I think
people,
so, maybe too.
Yeah. Because like, the idea is that, like, if you have a miscarriage, then it's like you have to tell everyone that you had a miscarriage. Yeah. If you already told them you were pregnant. Right. But it's kind of nice for people to know what you're going through. Otherwise, if they didn't know you were pregnant, had a miscarriage, you're grieving over something that other people aren't aware of.
I actually want to do a podcast on miscarriages just to make it more part of the conversation and more norm. And I know it is becoming that now, but it's so common, actually.
So many people have miscarriages.
I know so many women that have them.
My mom had one. Like, my sister had one. Both my sister-in-law had one.
I think it's like 1 in 5.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
And if we normalized it and gave those women like a support system, people wouldn't feel as bad about like admitting it. It makes me so sad because I would imagine it would make you feel like broken in a way.
Yeah.
And I'm super scared because, you know, I have like endometriosis, fibroids. Like, I already have a lot of stuff working against me. Yeah. So that I'm like, I hope, you know, that doesn't.
I think it was
just adds to like the whole, you're kind of on this journey on your own, you know, and then that just makes it worse, I would imagine.
I think it was 1 in 10 pregnancies, which probably averages out to like 1 in 5 women.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 10 pregnancies, but how many times does one woman get pregnant?
Right.
Hey, Naz, what did you get with Joybird?
No joke, you guys. The item in my house that I get the most compliments on is this accent chair from Joybird that I got. It is so stunning. And actually, Ashley, guess what? I just ordered these new brown leather cushions to go on that chair. You know that chair, the brown one I have?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be all brown and I'm going to put sheepskin rug over it and it's going to look so cool. I'm so excited. And guys, honestly, everyone has asked me where this chair is from and I say Joybird and they are just in awe when they go on the website and look at the prices. So it's basically a revolution in online furniture shopping because Joybird is the company behind it all. Joybird believes that you should never settle when it comes to your home furnishings and you can always have the freedom to be boldly original. So from idea to reality, they empower you to create the space and furniture that brings you joy. Like I was just telling Ashley, my house, the aesthetic is very like, I would say like boho.
Can I say like Native American?
Yeah, well, it's definitely boho inspired and vintage inspired, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes you feel like your space is uniquely yours. You've definitely personalized it in this amazing way. And I do feel like that chair has just added to that.
Yeah. It's with Joybird, you get one-of-a-kind furniture made to your unique taste because they turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options. They have mid-century modern, contemporary classics, customizable, and an amazing array of fabric choices from rich buttery leather and plush velvet to every color imaginable.
And I know when we get a new couch, we're going to be getting it from Joybird because they have a wide range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options. So, you know, if they're like bringing some dirt in, maybe some pee in, these fabrics are really good for cleaning.
That's so clutch because if you have pets at home like dogs or cats, you're going to want furniture that has pet-friendly upholstery.
Yeah. And what's really cool about Joybird is there's a 365-day home trial, which means you can basically skip the furniture store and then bring the showroom to you. You can sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. And if you don't love it, you can return it for a full refund.
And what's crazy, guys, is that they'll even remove all the packaging material. So it's not like your grandma's house where there's like plastic over all the furniture. Like, you can actually try this stuff out at home. So guys, see how Joybird is revolutionizing online furniture shopping. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/get it. Go to joybird.com/get it and receive an exclusive offer of 25% off your first order by using our code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T. Again, guys, it's 25% off your first order by using our code GETIT, G-E-T-I-T.
But I wanted to talk about teen pregnancy because you made a joke on your Instagram a couple days ago about how you as a 24-year-old getting pregnant has been regarded by so many people, especially in L.A.
Yeah.
To be almost be like a teen pregnancy, like,
no, totally.
Oh my God, you're 24 and having
so
a
young.
Kid.
You have your life ahead of you.
Goodness.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I know. Because people don't even think to have kids until their early 30s around here.
Yeah, or late 30s.
It's crazy.
No.
Or 40s. It's funny because a lot of people listening right now are probably like young moms.
Yeah. And
or
they're like,
I shouldn't even say young, just like moms at any age, you know?
So how was that, like, especially like living in LA, a city where you don't expect to get pregnant until your 30s if you're trying? And then seeing you have an audience that spreads all throughout the country, how was the reaction different? Like on your social media, some people probably thought it was very normal and some people probably thought you were way young.
Well, it doesn't help too that on my season, the whole thing was that like, she's so young, which yeah. of course now is ridiculous for watching Colton season. Yeah. Everyone right. is freaking right.
So
age.
Much ageism. Yeah. Ageism is such
it,
a thing.
Well, you know, if they make it a narrative in the show, then it's like, then it becomes your narrative. And of course, no one I think said anything about any of the girls. Ages when they were but so anyway, people already had that in their head if they were Bachelor fans and mm-hmm. like following my journey, and then it was like, oh my god, we remember she's so young from yeah. The Bachelor, and so now she's so young having a baby. But the response is pretty overwhelmingly positive. Everyone was really kind on Instagram. I think people just get excited about pregnancy and
they
babies
really do. Yeah,
like
yeah.
people really like it.
I mean yeah. you're growing a fucking human. That's
it's
so
wild.
Insane.
It's yeah, it's like divine. It's a divine oh, but to answer your question, the first trimester, it wasn't even because of the throwing up, because I didn't throw up that much, but mm-hmm. the fatigue, mm-hmm. it's like you can't walk up I would get winded walking up a flight of stairs, and I was like
really?
I was pretty athletic before I got pregnant. Like you're in this like the most tired you've ever been in your life. It's like so tired. Like, you know, when you have like a tight sweatshirt and you're really tired at the end of the day and you like have trouble pulling it off your mm-hmm. head. You just mm-hmm. like want to get in bed and go to sleep. It's like that, but all the time. Like you're just weak and like, yeah, you're just like falling yeah. apart.
My best friend's pregnant right now and she tells me that she gets so fatigued or
so
she did
tired.
In the first trimester. I actually thought of a question I wanted to ask kind of for my best friend. You know how people say, you know, if you could go back and give future brides advice on how to be mentally on your wedding mm-hmm. day, I kind of want to ask the same thing, but on the day that you're giving birth, if you could go back and tell yourself, was there a way that you wish you were? Was there a moment you wish you took in a little more? What advice do you have for people maybe going into birth soon that for the first time?
Prepare yourself. Like I spent a lot of time preparing because I was convinced from the beginning that I was like, I want to have an unmedicated birth. I want to do it in the most natural way possible. So I ended up giving birth at a birth center, which is actually right next to Cedars-Sinai. So it's like, if anything goes wrong, you're fine. But also people don't realize that midwives are like fully qualified for normal, uncomplicated births, which the majority of pregnancies are normal and uncomplicated. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in most other first world countries, midwives, like in the UK, in Australia, in all of the Netherlands, they have midwives. Like you don't see an OBGYN unless you have some sort of complication.
So does that mean that you don't normally give birth in hospitals in those places?
No, a lot of midwives work in hospitals and they have some like here in LA too. Like you can have a midwife and still be in a hospital. Right. But the great thing about midwives is they're not generally not surgeons. My midwife actually like is qualified to perform a C-section and stuff. So if I was to have
really?
To have
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, if I was to have an emergency C-section, like she could yeah. help perform it.
So, my dad being an anesthesiologist.
Oh yeah.
Do with the other first world countries have a midwife and an anesthesiologist if they chose to do it with meds? Or is it commonplace to not do it
that.
With meds?
It's pretty commonplace to not do it with meds.
And, good
and
Lord.
With midwives, like the thing about them, yeah, like I said, they're generally not surgeons. So it's a lot like lower risk of having different interventions, mm-hmm. like an emergency C-section or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I actually don't know about the rates of yeah. medicated yeah, versus unmedicated in other countries, even yeah. with the midwives. Actually, and I could be wrong. They could still do it with yeah. With an epidural mm-hmm. or whatnot. I'm really not sure.
What is a natural birth? Like, can you define it?
Well, you know what? People have, like, the definition's kind of changed because now people use the word unmedicated birth instead of natural because, you know, they say, like, all birth is natural, whether you're
okay.
have an epidural. But traditionally, right. they'd use natural just to be unmedicated and with as few interventions as possible. So there's things like using forceps or an episiotomy, and those things would be considered interventions.
Oh, really? And
when you have
forceps, or oh, I guess so.
What is
not
that?
So much anymore? It's the, when they use them to
the
pull
back. You know, the
they pull the baby.
Spatula.
Yeah, to pull
yes.
the baby's head out.
Yes, that's what that's called. I never knew that.
Forceps, yeah, and or like an episiotomy, which is where they make an incision yeah. down. Right. Which
so I thought that was more common than they make it out.
Like episiotomies?
I thought.
I'll tell you what, having a midwife definitely decreases your chance of having an episiotomy.
Why is that? Wait, so what is it, guys? When
that's
they cut
you,
what?
They make
an
incision. Yeah. Basically, they make an incision straight down, and it's when they're having a hard time
getting
the baby out.
You never knew that?
It's like totally commonplace.
But does it grow back?
Yeah, they sew it up immediately. Yeah, they stitch it after, and you heal. But sometimes it can be to prevent more tearing, because sometimes women will start tearing in other directions. I will say this. When you have an epidural, because you're you can't feel anything.
Yeah.
People tend to push harder, like, so than they know, so they tear, or they end up, or they can't push as hard because they can't feel what's going on, so they have higher risk of episiotomy or tearing for those, like, either problem.
Did you get hemorrhoids while you were pregnant?
No.
Is that common?
Yeah, I think it's really common.
Got it.
But yeah, so I just decided I wanted to do it unmedicated because there's actually a lot of good reasons.
Yeah, what are the reasons?
Like I said, generally like fewer interventions. Another thing that can happen, like if you have an epidural, is things generally go slower.
Yeah.
And so sometimes if things go slower, then the baby can go into distress.
Actually,
so,
you know so much about pregnancy. I love it.
Well, I mean, I just know like a lot about the anesthesia of it all.
Because your dad's explaining it. Okay. I'm so foreign to all this.
So like things can go slower, which could cause the baby to go into distress, which could cause a need for an emergency C-section. Also, sometimes I shouldn't speak on this without knowing for sure, but my friend is a nurse and she was telling me the other day that sometimes, I believe she was saying that with medicated births, sometimes the baby can be a little loopier and so they can have more difficulty latching, so then can lead to problems with breastfeeding, like because the first latch is really important in the first couple hours.
So Ashley, you know how it's tax season?
Yes, I know more than I would like to know.
Tax season gives Ashley and I a lot of anxiety, but it also makes me start thinking about money, you know, just in general and how I really should be better with it and how I really should just start adulting and, you know, just start investing. And honestly, guys, thanks to Robinhood, which is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free, by the way. My life has been drastically different because I feel like I'm actually utilizing my money and thinking of my future as opposed to being reckless with my money. And while other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees, so you can actually trade stocks and keep all of your profits.
Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike.
And they have really easy to understand charts and market data, and they place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. I mean, honestly, it's like you could have just bypassed getting a degree in finance or working on Wall Street. In 4 taps, guys, you are being financially responsible.
I love this part too. You can also view stock collections such as the 100 most popular. So with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving our listeners of the I Don't Get It podcast a free stock like Apple, Ford, and Sprint, legit stocks, you guys, to help build your portfolio. So sign up at getit.robinhood.com. That is getit.robinhood.com.
Who was in the room when you gave birth to Ruthie?
My mom, Grayston, the midwife, the birth photographer, and like a couple of the midwife's assistants. So actually a lot of people.
What was Grayston like?
It was so funny. Grayston initially said like he didn't even want to be in the room. He's like, I'll be out like having beers with the boys and you can like let me know when everything's done. And I was like, oh no. Like you'll be there. This is early on in pregnancy. I was like, no, you'll be there if I want you there. And he ended up being like so involved. He caught Ruth. He caught the baby. So he was on the other side.
So he looked in.
Oh, he was like on the other side with the midwife, like watching everything as like she was crowning, as I was pushing. And I asked him later, I was like, were you traumatized? And he was like, no.
That's so cool.
So I don't know. He didn't have any problem with it.
I think I've shared this story on the podcast before. Jared has been in 2 separate movie theaters and there'll be 2 vaginal scenes. One in Gone Girl, when she was like putting the bottle up her vag to like simulate a rape. And then another one where an alien was giving birth. He passed out during both of the scenes. One in which EMTs had to come because he fell down the stairs.
No.
So I don't think he can... I don't think he can look. I think he might pass.
He might pass out. He might pass out.
You should. I don't think I want him to look because I think like Jared's like very easily grossed out.
Yeah.
I think like it's just best he doesn't look.
Well, Gray like refused to watch videos and he said he was going to be by my head. And then who knows? In the final hour, he might, I mean, I don't know. I didn't tell Gray he had to be on this side and he ended up there and he was into it. So who knows?
Well, Tanner did the same thing. Yeah. And Tanner's also very easily grossed out.
Right. I know. I think it's like they kind of jump into this mode where they like want to be involved. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But also very, very high chance he could pass out. So
what was your mental state? Were you angry? Were you sad? Oh, were you excited? So, were you nervous? Yeah. Were you anxious?
What I was going to say is I did so much mental and emotional preparation all throughout my pregnancy for birth.
Interesting you say mental preparation.
100%.
What do you mean by that?
It's like you're running a marathon. And this is another reason people always ask, why would you do an unmedicated birth? And it's like, because it's cool to like do it and say that you did it. And you have this moment of triumph and this feeling. Of course you still have like, of course you accomplish stuff. Even if you're medicated, it's still crazy. Mm-hmm. But you have this feeling of accomplishment of like, I did that. Like my body did that. Mm-hmm. And I was like there. Yeah. So it's like a marathon. Yeah. Why do people do marathons?
It's exactly a perfect comparison.
Yeah.
My mom had me naturally and she's like, I loved it. She's like, I got to eat right away. Mm. Yeah. Is that true? She said that if you don't do it naturally, you can't eat right away. Mom lying to me.
I don't know about that, but
Maybe back in the day.
I will say like check your hospital policies because a lot of hospitals won't let you eat, and that's one of the beauties of like doing it.
Oh, look at my breast milk spurting out the other side.
Oh my god, you got, first of all, I just need to paint this picture right now. She is now breastfeeding Ruthie again. Her boobs are so perky. And there's milk coming out of it. This is so crazy.
She's breastfeeding on one Gray drank it. I don't drink it.
Have you ever tasted it?
Yeah. It tastes like really sweet. Like oat milk.
I can't believe there's milk coming out of your nip right now.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
We are cows.
Well, or we're mammals.
Cows are us. I know, but it, like our nips are just so, it's so crazy. It's so fascinating.
It is wild. What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Your mental state.
I was going to say, if you're in a, it's really important, I think, to have a hospital that'll let you eat because, or be in like a birth center or something. That's the bonus is that I don't think I would have made it to the end without being able to eat because my labor was long. It was 31 hours.
Holy moly. So do you even feel hungry though because of the adrenaline?
You're shaky and you like need, yeah. Like there came, when in the pushing phase, I was so fatigued. I was like, I need calories. And I'll go into that. But all throughout my pregnancy, I was like prepping. There's a book called Ina May's Guide to Natural Childbirth. And just the whole first half is telling positive stories of natural childbirth. Because we're taught that it's so scary and it's so anxiety inducing. It's so freaky, but it doesn't have to be.
I'm scared just to have drugs. No, I mean, like, yeah. I'm scared. And I know I'm going to have drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and I started watching a lot of YouTube videos and I used like keywords like gentle birth and peaceful birth. Aww. And like that actually really helped. Like seeing women who literally weren't screaming at all, who were just breathing. And the next thing is you would see like their baby just come out. Like that kind of birth is like a real possibility.
And it happens.
It does happen. And so I kind of put myself in this space with all of my different research and all my different watching videos and listening to birth podcasts. I started getting really excited and I was like looking forward to birth. It was like a marathon. I was like looking forward to it.
That's
like
so cool. Because I love like how you're describing this because I feel like to the everyday person, we think of the movies, you know, or what we've seen.
Screaming, it's all legs and stirrups.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that way.
I do feel like Becca is one of the earth, though. She is like a Jade, though. No, she is a Mother Nature.
No, I think a lot of people are like Becca and Jade. I think we just don't see them that much. Because my doctor, I go to a naturopath, she's the graceful birth in Silver Lake.
Oh,
they have people. Neat. Yeah. They have people go in there all the time and have natural births. And I never think like, I always think the movie version.
Yeah.
Or maybe it could be an LA thing, but I think a lot of people.
I don't know. Like one of my friends, she is the last, she is very not a hippie. She's like,
yeah, that's me.
She's like, I don't camp. Like nope. I need like my Wi-Fi. Yeah. I need my designer clothes. Like she is a bougie bitch. And she just, for some reason, like decided she wanted to have a natural birth and she did it in a hospital, like with an OBGYN, and she had a great experience. Wow. And so she just like, I don't know.
I wish I could have one. I think I have to have a C-section, I've been told.
Maybe.
But although I think actually, if I could, I would try and have a natural birth.
A woman in my hypnobirthing class actually had endometriosis. I don't know if there's like different kinds. So you said with fibroids, so that might
change it. I'll look into it if I ever get pregnant. But yeah.
But yeah, so I prepped myself and then I was excited. I was like, I can't wait because it's a psychedelic experience. Like you go into this... You go into this like trance-like state where you're not feeling things like normal. You've got so many natural drugs, like so many natural chemicals pumping through your body. I literally would not, I'm not joking, I wouldn't call my labor painful. It was like intense, but it wasn't like, it's what they call pain with a purpose. Cause your body, like if you break your leg, something's wrong. And like there's that kind of pain.
Botox.
Pain with a purpose.
Filler. I don't even think that Botox is even painful, but filler is,
Filler's painful.
Filler is painful. So
Botox is it. Yeah, that's so
it's
funny,
It's like my
Ashley.
Laser treatment. It's my VB. That is definitely pain with a purpose.
Ashley, that's so perfect.
But it's so funny because whenever I'm that's at amazing. Like the esthetician or like, you know, whatever they are, nurse practitioner, or whatever. And they're like, do you want to be numbed? I'm like, honestly, I don't even have to be numbed for this. I will faint if you draw blood out of my arm, but you can poke my face and laser it. And I don't
Same.
Care.
But I have to close my eyes. I can't see the needle.
Ooh, see, that's freaky.
Anyways, back to making humans.
But it's just like, it was just intense, but it's like, I knew my body was like supposed to be what it's doing. I also took a hypnobirthing class and that's all about like,
what is that?
It's like, it's not as sexy as it sounds. It's just like, it's just about like breathing as pain management, basically. Okay.
Like breath
but
work.
I will say one thing, if anyone listening is like going to do a unmedicated childbirth, relax through your contractions because that actually makes it less painful. Because there's two, quick, I'll make this really quick. But there's
Becca,
like,
you're so good at
we
all
We could definitely
this.
Have two parts
yeah,
of
Yeah, I think I'm like getting sad because I feel like I'm like looking at the clock and I'm like, oh no, there's probably, this is so informative to people having kids.
Well, we could do a postpartum.
Okay, we're going to do another one. But I want to ask you about postpartum after you answer that.
Okay, I'll make this quick. But there's like two muscles that go in opposite directions. And one is to dilate your cervix. And the other one, if you tense it, stops the other muscle from dilating your cervix. So when if you're tensing up your belly, if you're tensing up your whole body, you're actually pulling against the muscle that's contracting. So you're creating like more pain for yourself. So actually if you can like relax and breathe and let your body go like totally limp and loose, you'll literally be in less pain than if you were like tensing up and fighting the contraction.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So what does a contraction feel like? We asked Jade this.
What'd she say?
No, I want to know what you say first. And then
just
compare.
Cramps. Just period cramps.
Okay, that's basically what she said. She said really intense period cramps.
Yeah, it starts out like really light ones. And then they just get a little bit stronger, a little bit stronger. But you always have a break in between contractions. They're never longer than a minute. So I kept telling myself I can do anything for a minute.
Aww.
And when each contraction's over, it's like over. Like you'll be... Your eyes will be closed and you'll be in the middle of a super intense contraction. Maybe you're moaning or whatever. And then it's over. You're like, hey, can somebody get my water bottle? Like, can you get me a banana? Like,
your birth is so weird.
It's weird. It's trippy. It's like a psychedelic trip.
Wait, I'm
wild.
So like, I don't want to use the word impressed because duh, you know, like you were a nanny and the little I know about you, it makes sense. But just the amount of knowledge I feel like women gain when they are going, like I was just with my best friend and she's pregnant and I was like, let's go get a juice. And she's like, I can't have raw juice. And like, I don't know. It's just like your body.
I was really bad.
Like all this stuff that you just like never know. And then you just pick up and then you just make a person. It's so
I know.
Insane.
You know, I knew almost nothing before.
I think it's weird how automatic the body knows what's happening.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, we're built for it.
I know,
so
but it's
crazy.
Like so wacky. It's like, okay, and now I'm going to do these contractions, right, which you've never experienced in your life before, but it means that the baby's coming. It's so crazy.
Okay, postpartum.
Postpartum.
What is it? Thoughts on it? Did you go through it?
The definition is just after birth.
Yeah, but, yes.
But right. Whenever I say postpartum, I mean depression.
Right. Yeah,
so postpartum it's so syndrome.
Funny. Yes. It's so funny. Or postpartum depression.
Depression.
It's so funny you say that because I brought that up the other day. I was like, people say, like, one of my friends goes, I never had postpartum. And yeah. I was like, no, everyone has. Like, you're right. Always postpartum after you have a baby.
Jade corrected me on this.
It's
recently.
Good you guys.
She
good means, you clarified
she goes,
that
she goes,
because.
You mean postpartum depression? I go, oh, yeah, I guess yeah. You're right.
I would have
yeah.
Never yeah. Thought of that. Yeah.
Well,
that's crazy.
Postpartum, the postpartum period, I'm going to like talk about the first 6 weeks because like generally that's like the worst. Mm-hmm. I was crying to Grayson one night and I said I would do the birth all over again to skip past these 6 weeks. Like,
I think you posted that on your Insta story.
Yeah. It was way harder than the actual birth itself because the birth is like, it's like chaotic, but like, you know, you've got all this, you're on a high and everyone's with you and everyone's like, yeah. And it's just like this extreme event that's yeah. Just so all over the place, but it's right. Fucking awesome. Right. And then postpartum, you're suddenly home and you're sleep deprived and your hormones are rushing down, 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 down.
It's like coming off Adderall almost.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it feels like, except like all the time. Like you feel like you're exactly. You feel like you're coming down off of Adderall or really come down from any drug.
Right. Like your serotonin levels.
Yeah. Are just like down and you're just all over the place. Like I was crying all the time about really dumb aww. Stuff and I felt like I was going to be like that forever. And it's scary. Like I was literally scared to my birthday was the week after. So we went out to dinner and I was like scared in the restaurant. Like I was like, there's strangers around and like my babies, it's the most bizarre thing mm-hmm. And it's horrible.
And is it common?
That feeling? Yeah.
Would
so
you
that's
call
not,
it depression?
No, no, no.
You just call it normal.
Yeah. Postpartum depression, I'm pretty sure is like if it extends past those 6 weeks.
Got it.
And generally after like a few weeks, it'll clear up. But it is, that's one thing I want to say to everyone. It is so normal to feel out of your fucking mind in the first few weeks.
It's good to know.
You're also on like 3 hours of sleep a night. So that makes everyone go crazy. You right. See it on The Bachelor. Hello. You're like crying mm-hmm. All the time and losing your mind. It's like that, but with an infant and like
a life to protect.
But you can help like, postpartum depression is preventable in that like you can get a postpartum doula, which is basically
what's
just
that?
Someone it sounds fancy, but it's basically just someone to cook and clean and help you with the baby oh. And just be your emotional support and be there for you. Basically like what a good mom would do.
Can I get one of those? Like if I'm not pregnant, yeah.
It's called a housekeeper.
A nanny.
I think.
Housekeeper.
Yeah, you can have a nanny.
A nanny.
It's like, who's this woman? This is my work partum doula. You know, I'm just very extremely busy as one would be if they had a
personal
child.
Assistant. You need a personal assistant
no,
slash therapist.
I like doula sounds like warmer.
It does.
It does.
It does. It's a nice,
a magical
word.
Creature.
My doula. Yeah.
So how was Grayson with dealing with your emotions during those 6 weeks?
Yeah. Well, it's been, thankfully my mom was there and I would say if you can get some sort of like older, wiser woman to be there with you, especially one who's like been through it before, mm-hmm. Do that. Gray was great. He was just had to be at work a lot, but he was very, men, like help your wives or girlfriends out, like do the dishes, do any chore that you need. Just like he became like my servant for those weeks mm-hmm. And it was really helpful. And I felt bad at first being like, can you make me like a smoothie? Like, can you put this in the laundry? Like, I was literally like laying in bed asking him to do all that stuff, but it helped me so, 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 so much.
Speaking of, do you know how a lot of people say, or my father's told me that he changed after he had me. I was the firstborn. Do you feel like Grayson changed a little after since you guys had a girl?
Yeah. I mean, like in that he's a father now.
In what way though?
I don't know. I actually can't think of like any tangible like change in his demeanor or anything. But I mean, it's a totally different side of him to see the way he is around her. It's awesome.
This must be like the fucking hottest thing in the world. When Jared is like with your little girl yeah. Or little boy, Ashley, you're going to die.
Well, I just love it when he's
you're
going to
murder
with
him of like of love. I
know.
Feel like.
I know. Because when he's with Emmy or with the dog, I'm like, I love you as a dad.
It's amazing. It's amazing to like see a dad with their kid. It's yeah. So
it's very
fucking
sexy.
Cool.
Ash, when do you want to have kids?
Well, probably end up starting trying a year from now.
Really?
Yeah.
You and Jared
oh
have talked
my
about
God.
It.
Yeah. I know. It's so crazy. But like if we want the option of three and like I want to be like, you know, not in my upper 30s, then
yeah,
we really have to start
yeah.
then. which I'll be 32. That'll be like me turning 32. And then the kid will come when I'm close to 33. Isn't that insane?
That's insane.
Like,
it takes 9 months for them to bake.
I know, but it just sounds like before you know it, I'm going to be 33. It goes by so fast.
I feel like pregnancies go by super fast. Yeah. It's insane. When did you, how far in advance did you and Grayson move in before?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to.
Oh, yeah.
We moved in when I was, let's see, we moved in September. So June, July, August, I was 4 months pregnant.
Okay. So it was right when you told him then, right? Because was you were dating for 4 months. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got it.
She and told then him you told in May, him. And then they moved in July.
September. Yeah.
Okay. So then let's talk about relationships when you move in together, because you and I both moved in with a boy for the first time this year.
Yes, guys. What is it like? What's it like?
I don't know about you, but it's harder than I thought.
To live with a man? I feel like it would be a dream come true for me.
No, it wasn't the living. It was the moving in for me.
Just the act of moving in?
No, like the act of like, this is your stuff and this is my stuff and this is where this is going to go and you need to get rid of this and I want to keep that.
Explain.
Like that was actually the biggest thing.
So did you guys move into an apartment together, separate? You went from separate houses to one house?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Naz just wants him to like do chores and like lift and put up things on the wall.
I mean, like, that's fine. That wasn't what we had fights about.
To me, that's what I'm excited about. But actually, what Becca just said freaks me out, Ashley, because you know I love living alone. My place is so immaculate.
The way you,
it's,
you have,
should
the
be called
like
the Immaculate
it.
Home of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. My home is so, like, if the remote isn't facing the right way, and if I have to live with a boy who's, like, forgetting to flush and all that stuff, I feel like I'd turn into a monster.
Well, it wasn't even like that. It was like, he was like, I don't like this rug. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is my rug. Like, this isn't going anywhere. And then he'd be like, but you're getting rid of all my stuff. Why do I have no say? And like he said initially, like, I don't care, we can do whatever. And then you'd be surprised. Like, men come out with their opinions about things.
What was like the biggest thing that you were like, cannot absolutely be in here, that he was so bummed about?
Like all of his stuff. I got rid of like everything. I'm sorry, I did. His place was, it was horrible. He had like all this Grateful Dead stuff, all this Grateful Dead and Dodgers stuff everywhere.
Oh my God, and I then, love like, it.
Horrible,
him and I would be best friends.
Like horrible leftover furniture his mom had brought down from like her house. Just like, I mean, her house is cute, but it was like ugly ass, like brown plaid couch that was like falling apart. Yeah. Oh my God.
So for you, it was more aesthetic.
It was very much a bachelor pad.
Which is funny because it's so opposite from Ashley's. Jared walked into basically like one of the most feminine, girly, beautiful apartments in your own way.
We never imagined him moving in so quickly.
Yeah.
And then he didn't really have any stuff here, which is why it really made it easy, because he had like just a trunk full, you know, like an actual car trunk full. So he really has no say in our decor. But we do say that when we get married and Lauren moves out, we're going to do a lot of redecorating.
Are you?
Yeah, because we're going to make Lauren's room the man cave. And we're going to make the glam room more of like a glam room guest room. So it's like more just like that's the girly space.
Glam room?
Okay, what's so funny, the glam room's stunning. It has like, you know, vintage poster of NSYNC. The Kardashian quotes are up. Two beautiful vanities. But recently I went in there the other day. And they have a guest room bed. I go in there the other day and there's a big TV. And what's funny about the glam room is Jared kind of goes in there when we record the podcast and stuff. And he plays video games on like the big TV in there. And I go in there and there's like Brady drawings that perfectly are like cohesive with the Kardashian ones, and there's like a Patriots neon sign, and I'm like, this is Jared's little little thing, but it's also like in the way Ashley would want it up there, you know?
Yeah. Honestly, I had to give him that when his parents got him the light up. It's like something that you would put in like a New England bar, you know, like a Patriots Bud Light thing.
Yes, I can.
Or like your parents' bar
when he opened that on Christmas, I was like, oh fuck! This has to go somewhere. That I can't let him not.
Did that go down, Ash? Was he like, I want to put this up, or were you like, okay?
No, one day he just put it up, and I was like,
he just put it up without asking?
Oh my
god! Yeah, but that's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Oh, see, that wouldn't be fine with me. I'd be like, ask me.
Well, no, I can't. Like, he doesn't have anything in the house.
I
he can
know.
Have a
that's
wall.
Why you're such a good future wifey.
Oh, well, thank you.
Did he ever, is
the
Jared
Superman
ever,
the Superman picture is still framed in his trunk, because like,
does he want that to go up?
The Superman poster?
Yeah.
He does.
Well, that'll go up in the man cave when
Lauren
moves out.
I told him he has to wait till September when he gets a man cave. Right. Then he can have superheroes and he can have all of his Patriots stuff.
Oh my God, he's going to have so much memorabilia.
Yeah.
But was he ever, like when he moved in, was he like, I want to put stuff up? And were you like, no? Or was
I think he kind of knows how anal I am. So
Gray's probably new, but he's just stubborn.
Yeah.
It was just...
I have. Okay, so my thing about moving in with Jared, and I want to know whether this is what happened to you guys.
Okay,
our relationship was like with you guys.
Oh,
no, like, no, sorry, you and Grayson.
Yeah.
So I felt like our relationship was so sexy, and like every moment was so romantic until we moved in together, and then it was like, oh, we live together. It's like every moment can't be hot, and then like the whole like dating hotness just totally disintegrated.
Well, I'll tell you what. Getting pregnant kind of disintegrates kind of that hotness.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Kind of happened at the
same
time. Well,
honestly, yeah. There was a lot of like anger between us, and it was like really difficult when I was first pregnant. Plus, my first trimester, I was literally like repulsed by all men. Like, I hated the way they all smelled, including him. Like, I was like, don't touch me. I don't want to have anything to do. Like, that all stopped the second and third trimester. But the first trimester, it was like, I was like, no, you're disgusting.
Wait, that's I'm like, wait, were you attracted to his pheromones beforehand?
Yeah, not like super. Oh, it wasn't like super attracted. But
really, I shoved my nose in the nape of Jared's neck and like in his cheeks because his natural smell.
I'm in my first trimester of dating in LA. I'm just repulsed by like everyone.
That's totally funny. I understand.
But you've always been that, Ashley, with Jared. You've always liked his smell.
But I just like,
it's literally been like, it's like animal instinct.
Well, I've experienced that before with men. I didn't have it like, I mean, I don't have any problem saying it, but I didn't have the same. I've experienced that before. You're like, it's intoxicating in their scent. Yeah. I didn't have that. I don't think it smelled bad, but I wasn't like obsessed. But then I'll tell you what, when I got pregnant, I was like, ugh, it was just gross.
No
That's funny.
But anyway, yeah, but I do know what you're talking about. It's like, yeah, it can become really unsexy when you like know you're gonna see the person every night, and you like know you're gonna get in bed together every night.
Sorry, Naz.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the constant, like the consistency and like the stability is great, but it can be really unsexy.
That makes sense. There's a double-edged sword to like everything.
There is. I wish like Jared and I didn't have an option to like do the long-term date. Like, you know, like it just made no sense financially or even like emotionally to live apart. Part because we spent like 5 days a week together anyway. He was sleeping over that much.
Yeah.
But there was something to like waiting for him to knock on the door.
Yeah.
And like for me to get ready.
Butterflies.
Yeah. Like, is he here yet? And even like the couple hours separation where we would, you know, be apart and I didn't expect him to be there every moment. Yeah. Definitely creates like that dating butterflies are so much fun.
But the
second you
move
in together, you're like, okay, so you're my best friend and I'm attracted to you.
Did you experience that at all with getting engaged too? Because like, did you have sort of the same thing where you like realized you were going to spend forever with them? I know you thought that before you got engaged, but like, did you experience that at all of like
an excessive amount of bonding?
Like the other side of it where you're like, oh, I'm going to like be with this person. Was there something like unsexy or was like extra sexy? Because do you know how, you know what I mean? Like it could kind of be a little bit realizing you're going to spend the rest of your life with them.
You bring up a great point because I have friends that are like dying, didn't even look at the ring when there was a proposal because they were just... Caitlin didn't even look at the ring. She was drowned in emotion. Like, of course, you're my best friend. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I know other people where the thought was daunting to them.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, wow, this is it. I love you. I want to be with you, but this is it. And it's kind of scary.
No. So with us, we actually got like weird separation anxiety once we got engaged. Like I cried one time when I was just dropping him off at Nick's apartment. And we were like, I can't leave you. What if something happens to me on the way home? Like,
oh my God, that kind of anxiety.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like really crazy. And we still
kind of
get like
that. But Ashley and Jared have high levels of anxiety.
But the thing is, what we feel like is our actual problem now is that we're too comfortable together, that there's no mystery left.
Yes.
And like we need to create more mystery because that's when like relationships do get really unsexy because you're like, I know everything about you.
Yeah.
So we had a marriage counselor on the podcast that we did this week. And she said that somebody's vows that she'll always remember. The guy goes, I promise to never fully know you because that's always going to make, he's always interested in discovering her.
I think that also that's how people end up saying like, I don't know you anymore or like you're a stranger to me because I think they take for granted that they know this person and then they no longer try to know them more. Yeah. And then they wake up one day and they're like, I don't know this person because they haven't been continuing to figure out the person. And we're ever changing, so there's always something new to like learn about the person.
You should be evolving, and you should be growing. You should be wanting to constantly like evolve. So what are you guys doing to like spice up your life?
Nothing right now. Nothing. I mean, like, he's gone all the time because of like work. Yeah. His business is opening up this month.
Plug the business.
Yeah, Long Beach Rising, climbing, bouldering. It's, I mean, why wouldn't you want to go
check it out. It's a rock climbing place.
There's two yoga studios, a sauna. It's in this beautiful 100-year-old building.
It's going to be dope, guys. When does it open?
Super dope. Sometime this month.
So it's in Long Beach.
Yeah. Long Beach Rising.
All right, guys. But, stay tuned on Becca's Instagram for when that opens.
Yeah. But yeah, and then having a new baby, you know, it's like the minute you're trying to get it on or whatever, then the baby starts crying, you're like, oh, well, fuck this. So or like,
TMI question. Have you guys had sex since the baby, since it's been 2 months now? Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
The funny thing is like the first 2 weeks after she was born, I think like our emotions were like so high and the chemicals and hormones were so high that actually like our first 2 weeks after I gave birth were like really kind of like, we'd be like making out and like,
oh my God, in the shower. I love like the fun.
The, yeah, it was like super hot at first.
Cause we were like, parents,
well, we were like,
you know?
So high, you know, it's like, oh my God, like that's our baby. Like,
oh, wow.
It's just like, I wasn't expecting that. Like, I wasn't expecting that feeling like the
all
first
right,
couple
I'm
weeks.
I'm getting pregnant.
But then, no, but then after it's like, yeah, like boner kill.
That's
and then,
funny.
So yeah, we have had sex since, but it actually wasn't bad. I will say this, also another tip for moms, if it like hurts and continue, obviously like at first it's going to hurt if you don't like use a ton of lube because there's a lot that's happened down there. Yeah. But if you continue to have pain, go see a pelvic floor physical therapist and they can help you sort it out.
There's such a wealth of knowledge on this topic. Okay. Yeah. We have like a couple minutes left. So I want to do a quick lightning round.
Oh, I got a lightning round at the end that I'll finish up with.
Well, this is a lightning round.
Oh, I know, but I'll have the last question.
Okay, cool. Okay, so
Grayson's like, she's hungry, she's crying. Oh, I'm like, no, she just ate. You can hold her.
So funny. I'm grossed out asking this question, but I feel like people are gonna want to know.
What?
So I'm not really asking for me. Do you want more? Are you going to have more kids?
Why is that gross?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like...
I thought you were going to ask something about like sex or my vagina or something.
I know, like the stitches or
whatever. I actually think... Yeah. I just feel like people always want to know. And I think, you know, it's like, well, I just had a child, you know? It's almost like when people get married, it's like, well, when are you having kids?
Oh,
when you're engaged, when are you getting married?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm for sure having more kids.
Sooner? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I go back and forth with that because like... It's super fun. To
you
want
to get this one right for
close in age. I mean, you have a sister that's close in age. I have a sister that's 2 years apart from me. And it's like super fun.
You definitely want the age closeness.
So fun. But then also my big sister, she had kids like back to back to back. And she was like, you know what? Enjoy having just one. Because I do know from being a nanny, one is way easier than two. Like grocery store trips are so much easier than one. Like getting things done so much easier with just one. So she was like, enjoy it for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm. 4 years.
I know.
That's too much of an age gap.
That's me and my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a big age gap. Cause
you feel like it's too big?
Yeah.
Between you and your brother?
Yeah. Because we were only in elementary school together.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we didn't really, I mean, we grew up together, but we didn't grow up together. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely makes sense.
Jared well, and his sister are 2 and a half, and they are really close.
Yeah. Well, I'm homeschooling for like at least some of elementary school, so at least I'll have that together.
That's really cool.
I need you. Oh, you're the best. Okay, what's your last question?
No. Okay. Talk about what happened to your skin throughout the entire pregnancy. Because you know that this is my number one fear. This is like why I've been dreading getting pregnant.
No, I completely understand that. I understand that. My skin before I got pregnant was perfectly clear because of my whole like probiotic regimen stuff. Like perfect. Like no, nothing.
Oh my
no
God,
acne
you can't
whatsoever.
Take probiotics.
No, you can.
Right?
You can.
Can't take any of the meds that I'm on, which I had to get off months before I start trying.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, damn.
Trust me, I know. But yeah, no, you can take all the probiotics and stuff. It's just like food, like kefir and kimchi. But that didn't help anything once I got pregnant. Like I started breaking out slowly at the beginning and then towards the end of my pregnancy, like my whole back was broken out. My face was broken out. And then, and then immediately after I gave birth, like literally almost the day after, my skin was just like my face and my back were like pretty like erupted and they were pretty bad. Just a lot of acne. And then now finally 2 months later, like everything on my face is starting to heal and like my back slowly started to heal and there's not like so much new acne, but I think it's just freaking hormones. Yeah. And for some people, it clears up everything. And then for some people, it breaks out everything.
Exactly. People talk about the pregnancy glow and how your skin and your hair has never been better. I was like, it might help you.
No, because you've had hormone imbalances.
Hormonal acne issues.
See, I didn't have hormonal acne. Yeah. I'm pretty positive I didn't. So yeah. I think like the pregnancy imbalanced my hormones and made me freak out. It might be the opposite for you.
And yeah. You want Accutane too.
Yeah, but that was a couple years before I got pregnant, and the Accutane didn't help me at all.
Could be opposite, Ash.
Everybody likes to give you that positive. Everybody likes to give you that positive.
Yeah, I know. People told that to me too.
I'm like, honestly, I know my body. I know exactly how it's going to react. Right.
People told me, they're like, I'm sure your skin's going to be amazing when you're pregnant. I felt the same way. I was no. But it is starting to get better now, 2 months after. But there's a lot of breastfeeding hormones.
Have you been using anything that's been helping that?
No. I mean, I'm just continuing to do my probiotic stuff and just my normal regimen. But I think it's just hormones. It's it's normal. Your body's going through crazy motherfucking changes, so many. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on the
Thank you for having me.
It's so what a great year catch up. We could literally go on for hours, but I know
I could talk.
You guys are going to want to hear Becca all the time because I could listen to your voice all day. What's your podcast and where can people find it?
My podcast, which actually... Yeah, you guys should totally come on. We've been wanting more people to come on. Anyway, I was going to ask you if you could come on today, but it was too much. But anyway, it's Chatty Broads. So yeah, I guess I don't need to spell that out. Chatty Broads. And we do recaps during Bachelor season, which is super fun. And people call us Catty Broads because they say we're too mean. But I think really fun and obnoxious.
I'm so here for saying exactly what we're saying, but we're scared for anybody else to hear it. We say horrible things to the TV.
I think everyone does it at home. I think everyone says stuff at home that they wouldn't say.
Yeah, and then they judge everyone else for saying it.
I'm always judging outfits. Always.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. And just you all secretly hate the same kind of people. But anyway, and then off season, we just talk about we did a birth one and we're doing a postpartum one and we're doing dating advice and all kinds of just fun lifestyle stuff. So yeah, Chatty Broads.
You're the best. All right. Well, we love you. Thanks for coming on. You're fantastic, and thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you, guys. I don't podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Wave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.